Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everyone, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Chris Woodward is finished for... I'm going to get to you, Steve. Chris Woodward is finished for his portion of the show, and he is replaced by the always stellar Steve Jordahl.
You can follow him, but you can never replace him.
Yeah, that's right. So good morning, good afternoon to you, Steve.
I had a good weekend. I joined.
I didn't ask you that, but I'm glad you did.
I just want to share.
Yes.
I joined an amateur autopsy club.
Yeah.
Sunday was open mic night.
Oh, man. Okay. Now, folks, I'm going to just let you know. I know that's a groaner. Okay. I'm going to let you know. Someone told us, did you mention this last week?
I don't know.
In one of our meetings. Who was that? Oh, that was okay. That was J.J. Jasper last Friday.
That doesn't surprise me
at all. He comes in before Trivia Friday, tells Tim and I that joke. I thought it was funny, and I said, hey, can we say that on the air? And Tim said no, and I said, I guess I'm kind of jaded. I guess being a New Englander.
Sorry,
Yankee,
Tim.
No, listen. I said, that just seems funny to me. You come in telling it. So, folks, I hope you weren't offended by that. I kind of thought that was funny in a kind of twisted kind of way, a dark
right.
kind of way.
Right. Yeah.
And my sisters and I to this day say Vitaglianos have a dark sense of humor. That was dark, bro.
It was.
Anyway, it was nice knowing you, Steve.
Thanks.
I've enjoyed you being here at AFR.
It's been a good run.
Okay, go ahead. What kind of news?
Let's go ahead and start with this woman that you teased a little bit in the first hour.
Yes.
I found this on TikTok. I don't have a TikTok feed, but I do have a Twitter feed in which TikTok videos show up.
Right.
And one showed up with this woman named Elisa. And she says she's an Iranian woman, and she has something to say to all those people who are out there saying.
Kind of give some context that she seems upset at the pro-Iranian voices
right.
that have been heard in the media and around the world.
She has something to say to the people that are saying, you know, Iran has a right to defend itself. It's, you know, they're in the right and Israel's in the wrong. It's strong.
By the way, folks, this is what, roughly 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, it's a little longer.
That's unusually long for the clips we play, but I gave Steve permission. He did edit it somewhat. I gave Steve permission to run this entire thing. Because this young lady, I did watch the video on Twitter when you sent it, Steve. This woman lays out a very strong case. I don't know what she does for a living, but she should be a lawyer
right.
if she's not. But this is a big-time takedown of the pro-Iranian voices we've been hearing.
Cut one, please.
Hi, Iranian woman here. It's become very apparent that you haven't been listening to anything that we've had to say for the past 2 years. But I was wondering if you could just lend me a few minutes of your time in this ungodly hour to hear us now. We've had to watch over the past 24 hours people clambering onto the internet to exclaim that Iran has the right to defend itself. In what capacity have you distorted the story to make the Islamic Republic the victim? That's I think what we're most curious about. When we were screaming for the past 2 years that they were lynching us, where were you? When we were screaming that they were killing Iranian women for not wearing a hijab, where were you? When they were lynching Iranian men from cranes for protesting, where were you? When we were explaining that this is a terrorist occupying force, where were you? But all of a sudden, everyone's graduated from Instagram School of Law to say that this is a violation of international law and Iran has the right to defend itself. First of all, you're not talking about Iran. You're talking about the Islamic Republic. What the Islamic Republic does is not a reflection of the Iranian people. We've been clear about what we want, which is peace. Second of all, you may have discovered the Middle East yesterday, but the Middle East didn't start existing yesterday. What did you think Hezbollah was there for? Hamas, Houthis, the militia groups in Iraq and Syria? Did you think that they were there to instigate a system of public schooling, education, to feed the poor, house the unhoused? What did you think that they were there for? Is that an act of war? Was October 7th an act of war? If you had listened to us for the past 2 years, much less the past 45 years, you'd know that Iranians don't want war with Israel. We want peace with Israel. Iranian people inside of Iran have come out and said this over and over and over again. It's you that wants war with Israel. It's your hatred for Israel and your hatred for Jews that's pulling us into a war that we didn't ask for. Have we not suffered enough for the past 45 years that we now have to be used as pawns for your fantasies about war with Israel? Leave us alone. We don't want that. For 2 years, we asked you to come out and say free Iran, and now you want to speak up to put our lives at risk and say go to war, Iran. You are no friend to the Iranian people for that.
That was brilliant,
that
Fred.
Was. What an interesting perspective that, you know, the CNNs of this world probably would not have that lady on.
Right.
The MSNBCs. Because the narrative is what the left worships.
Right.
They don't worship the truth. And this lady is speaking the truth. There are wonderful Iranian people, brilliant people, but they are being suppressed, as she notes, by this Islamic regime that hates Israel, hates America. And so I'm assuming she made this comment in the last 48 hours. Because I think she was referencing what happened on Saturday night with Iran. And for people to say Iran was in the right to retaliate against Israel. And she's asking, where have you been
right. When
we have been suffering under this same Islamic regime? You have said nothing. Iranian women suffering under this Islamic regime. Iranian men who want nothing but freedom suffering under this regime. And the West has stayed silent. But all of a sudden, the Western media likes Iran and believes that they have a right to respond to Israel.
You know, Steve, a lot of the I have no way of validating this, but I've heard and read stories from missionary groups mm-hmm. who have made the claim that the fastest growing Christian population in the world is in Iran.
Yeah.
And so I have no way of, again, of validating that, but I've heard it from multiple sources. So there is a difference between the mullahs and the Islamic Republic, this group at the top, and the Iranian people who more and more seem to want freedom. Mm-hmm. They want to get out from under this radical religious ideology that does execute people for their disobedience. And you just don't hear much coming from the people who make decisions in the news media.
Keying in on what you said about the growing Christian population in Iran, what I'm hearing is it's miraculous encounters with
right.
Christ and God and the Holy Spirit or missionaries. Missionaries told by the Holy Spirit, go stand on this corner. Someone's going to come to you. And lo and behold, someone comes. Miraculous things. God has a way of reaching down, and if he wills a nation or a people to be saved, they'll be saved.
And it is something to consider too about the people in Gaza as well. Now, I understand high percentages voted for Hamas. I understand that. The question is, did they have a choice? Okay. I guess what I'm getting at is we should be careful to at least give credence to the argument that there's a difference between the people launching the rockets and, in this case, from Iran, missiles and drones, and the people in the streets who sometimes suffer the fallout of the actions that their leaders are committing.
I would say it's no different than anywhere. I mean,
right.
We've got people here. We might appear to the world like the crazies that are gluing themselves to the street in Chicago. We'll
yes.
get to that. But
right.
But we're not. And, you know, it's just a part. It's just right. a little part of us.
Well, and to that point, to a larger political point, when Donald Trump was president, he brought about the Abrahamic Accords.
Right.
Remember that? reaching
historic,
which was absolutely historic, making being a facilitator to bring about at least a working relationship between Israel and Saudi Arabia,
right,
etc. You know, and again, people in Saudi Arabia don't like the Islamic regime in Iran.
Right.
They don't. They want peace like everybody else for various reasons, for business reasons,
right,
all of these sorts of things. But Donald Trump was able to do that because I think he understood what this lady was saying. They're not all bad people.
Right.
Be careful what you say about those terrible Iranian people. The all of Iran, it's just not true. And Donald Trump knew that. And that is why Israel was so successful, not just because Donald Trump moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and that gets a lot of attention, but because he understood underlying the Arab communities and countries, there's a desire just to get along.
Yeah.
For what, like I say, for whatever reasons, business reasons, whatever the case may be, but that you have this other element that does not want peace.
Right.
They do not want peace. They want upheaval because they believe they can benefit from that.
It is big business for these groups that are terrorists in nature. It's big business to keep the hatred alive for,
yes,
Israel.
Yes.
We've talked about many times Yasser Arafat, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the billions that he had set aside for himself personally, mm-hmm, turning down certain accords that could have resulted in a two-state solution or a time of peace. And as you found out, was it Anwar Sadat? He made a peace with Israel. Guy was assassinated.
Yeah.
Okay. This is dirty business that goes on in the Middle East. And I just thought, Steve, you sent that video to me, that this young lady was brilliant, passionate. And the reason, Fred, she's not going to appear on CNN or MSNBC, she'd cut those people in pieces.
Yes.
Because she knows what she's talking,
right,
about.
That's,
and
right,
I think she could cut through the ideology that has infected the mainstream media.
She would. And since you mentioned the Abraham Accords, I move that Barack Obama give his Nobel Peace Prize to Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well,
just hold your breath on that.
I second that, Steve. But
let's vote.
I think it's not going to go any further.
Yeah.
So, all right. What else?
All right. Well, let's stay here in the United States. We've got protesters. You know how in Europe or other countries the people are gluing their hands to the road.
Yes.
Because of climate change.
Right.
Well, they're doing this now in Chicago. Protesters, anti-Israel protesters, blocked the road to O'Hare Airport in Chicago, forcing people to walk about a mile to catch their planes. Meanwhile, the cops in their cars are just sitting there watching. So I don't know when sitting down and blocking a road has come in vogue, but it's in vogue now.
So, Fred, I always thought that if you wanted to have a formal protest on public property, that you had to get permission. You had to get a permit, mm-hmm, to do it. You couldn't just simply block something. You couldn't just simply take over a park or the mall in Washington, D.C. and have a big pro-life conference or a big pro-abortion conference. You had to have a permit. Well, apparently you don't have to have a permit for a lot of these people. This kind of stuff, the people who pour tomato soup on
pictures,
on paintings, yeah, in museums, they're not helping.
No, nope.
Their cause. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like a cult now. This climate change movement, it's kind of like a cult. So I don't know if cult members care whether or not their strategies and tactics are working to convince people. They're so set in their own self righteousness, they don't care. But that kind of thing, I've seen all over the world. You see the images, the videos of people who are so angry at these protesters because they're stopping people from getting to where they're going, sometimes preventing ambulances,
yes,
from getting to people who need medical care. I don't see how this helps them in the long run.
Well, I'll tell you what. It all depends on who's running the protest. That's the way it is.
Good point.
If you had a group of people that blocked a street that led to a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic, guess what? They'd be arrested. They would be charged.
They'd be convicted.
FBI agents would show up at their house with guns drawn.
That's a good point.
If you think I'm kidding, we've talked about
this. We've covered these stories.
We've covered these stories. It all depends. January 6th, mistakes made, yes. But there are people going to prison for breaking down a barricade.
Right.
Barricade, all right? It's very interesting. Supreme Court decision this morning rejected an appeal from a Black Lives Matter activist over a Louisiana protest lawsuit. A cop was injured in this. But the ACLU said, oh, wait a minute now, Black Lives Matter people, they have a right to protest. A cop is injured. This has gone all the way to the United States Supreme Court now. And the United States Supreme Court is saying the cop has a right to sue.
Right.
This is what this is about.
The cop sued Black Lives Matter?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he was injured.
Okay.
In one of their protests. And they were
mostly peaceful protests, weren't they, Fred?
Yes. But I couldn't help think, wait a minute, there were some police officers injured on January 6th. And people are going to prison for years for that. This cop, apparently, he's suing.
Right.
That's what he's doing. So, you know, I just go back to what I said. It all depends who's perpetrating the issue.
Yeah.
Who's arranging. And climate change people can do almost anything they want. And the mainstream media is all behind them. They have a right to glue themselves, whatever they're doing. They have a right to do anything. You know, it's like Joe Biden on Friday hits oil and gas companies with higher fees to drill on federal lands. The mainstream media thinks that's just wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, stop those bad oil and gas companies. But the rest of us are going to pay for this.
Right.
Because it's all under the guise of climate change.
I've seen some people, Steve, online when these people glue themselves to a roadway.
But let me be clear. I don't know that anybody glued themselves in Chicago. They're blocking the road.
Oh, okay.
Other people, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Have.
I've seen people say, good, let them stay there.
Right.
They glue themselves. Let them get themselves unstuck.
Yeah.
You know, make a way for people to go around and then just let them sit there.
Yeah.
Let them sit there and let nature take its course. So that's the kind of attitude you're getting in response to a lot of these shenanigans.
Yeah.
All right.
Every so often you see a video of somebody winding their way through they might bump them out of the way. Sometimes they run over an arm or a leg. I got to admit, there's a little bit of satisfaction watching that.
The old expression, play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Exactly.
All right. What else you got?
Are you guys interested at all in some of the questions that the jury is being asked today in the Trump trial during the election?
Absolutely.
I have all 42 of them. We're going to go through each one. Fine.
Okay.
See if we could be a juror.
maybe not all of them, but.
The first couple relate to where do you live? How long have you lived there? Are you retired? Are you married? Do you have interests or hobbies? Do you watch podcasts? If so, which ones? Do you listen to talk radio? If so, is it only AFR or is it AFR plus NPR? They want to know if you've ever had a relative or close friend being employed in the accounting or finance field. They get down to a little more specific down there, about 30. Do you have strong opinions or firmly held beliefs about whether a former president may be criminally charged in a state court? Do you have any feelings of opinions about how Mr. Trump is being treated in this case? Can you give us your assurance that you will decide this case solely on the evidence you see and hear in this courtroom and the law as the judge gives it? So I can see them. There's preemptory challenges for the lawyers. They can just say, I don't want him, I don't want her.
Right.
They don't have to give a reason.
Right.
And then the judge can throw anybody out that appears to have a conflict of interest.
Well, but I got to tell you, Fred, if you do not want to be on jury duty, those are some softball questions.
That's right.
You know, you just know you answer to an extreme. Yes, I love Donald Trump. No, I hate Donald Trump. You're probably not going to have jury duty.
That's right. You'll be out of there very quickly
because this trial could take 2 months, I've heard.
That's one of the sidebar stories in all of this. This is being held in New York. There are Trump fans, some Trump fans in New York, right. But a whole bunch of people don't like him either.
Right.
Because it tends to be a Democrat enclave.
Yeah.
It does. And so it's going to be interesting what questions the Trump lawyers are going to eventually kind of bore down there to try. It takes one juror, that's all, who might find the former president not guilty, and that would do it.
Because it's a criminal trial.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see over the next couple of weeks. And I another reason not probably want to be on that jury is, boy, the mainstream media are going to come after you.
Yeah.
Especially if there is a not guilty verdict. They're going to want to know all about that one juror or two jurors, whatever it is, who said, no, we don't think he's not guilty.
Yeah. I've seen some jurors after the trial kind of cash that in.
Yes.
Write a book or.
Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you guys, dog lovers or cat lovers?
Dog lovers.
Yeah.
I like both, but we have cats at our house.
Yeah. Well,
I'm on the border of almost being a cat hater,
okay,
but not quite.
I'll let you and Fred settle that out. But so have you ever tried, wish you could take your dog along on a vacation, but you got to fly there and to have the dog along with you, you'd have to put it in a crate. They probably put it under the...
I've loved our dogs. I've never wanted to take one on a vacation.
Well, if you ever have the urge, I have the airline for you.
Okay.
This is an ad. This is a new airline called Bark Air, and I kid you not, Bark Air.
Bark Air?
Bark Air. Listen to...
U.S.-based?
I believe so.
Okay.
Listen to this ad. Now, a lot of it, you just picture there's dogs in the picture instead of people. Cut. I love it.
The future of travel is here. World-class dining. Critically acclaimed in-flight entertainment. Custom lay-flat beds with 4 times the legroom. And coming soon, Tailwinds, the first ever in-air dog park. Introducing Bark Air. Finally, dogs will fly the way they've always deserved to. First.
All right, if you think this is a joke, you're not a dog person.
Bark Air, a 100% totally real airline for dogs.
No, come on. I still don't believe that. That's real. First of all,
yeah, I looked it up. If I wanted, it's very expensive.
All right. First of all, let me just say this, Fred. If there's 4 times the leg room, I'll fly on that airline. Okay. Second of all, I guess you don't have to worry about the bathrooms being occupied.
True. There's a button at the dog seat you can push, and the stewardess or airline.
So this is the owner and the dog with the together.
Yeah, I'll show you that. The pictures make a little more sense.
I'm telling you, that is proof that we have it way too good in America.
Way too good.
Yes.
Wow. An airline for dogs. Well, folks, you probably heard it here first. Right. On today's issues. Anyway, that's all the time we have. No more dark humor. No more dog airlines.
For today.
Yeah, for today. Thank you for tuning in to today's issues. Again, this was Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. He'll be back in the captain's chair tomorrow. For Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward, Brent Creeley, Steve Jordahl, thank you. And please stay tuned. More great programming directly ahead on AFR.